This is the Truth Network.
The heart of every man craves a great adventure, but life doesn't usually feel that way. Jesus speaks of narrow gates and wide roads, but the masculine journey is filled with many twists and turns. So how do we keep from losing heart while trying to find the good way when life feels more like a losing battle than something worth dying for? Grab your gear and come on a quest with your band of brothers who will serve as the guides in what we call the masculine journey. The Masculine Journey starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey. We're glad that you're with us this week. At least somebody is. We've only got five people at the studio. It feels like we're bare.
Well, it seems like since I came back, everybody else has stayed away, and I don't know if there's a correlation there or not.
We drew the short straws. Okay. That's what that was.
I'm sorry, guys. Didn't mean to do that to you.
Yeah, no, we are missing a lot of people. Andy's on a Missouri adventure, so we hope he's having a great time and seeing some family. And Harold will be back hopefully next week. He's been at home just hanging out for the last few weeks. And today is Michael's birthday, so happy birthday, Michael. We know that he's not here, but he is watching on Facebook or one of the ones. Facebook, yeah. Or YouTube or whatever we do. So happy birthday. We're not going to sing to you like we wouldn't if you were here, but happy birthday anyway. And so Art, we miss Art. Yeah, I just go down the list, everybody that we miss, but we are grateful for everybody that is here. And I think we have a great topic this week.
And sooner or later, we'll even see David again.
Well, that's a rumor. Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of like a Yeti sighting. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, Bigfoot, David. Yeah. You know, just something.
He's beginning to look a lot like a dwarf from the last picture.
Yeah, he did. Well, maybe new Lord of the Rings will come out and he can start.
He stayed at the Shire.
He did. Yeah. So this week's topic actually came to me from a song from an artist initially I didn't really care for that much. Honestly, I'm not a great country music listener. I do like a lot of country songs, but I like individual songs, not usually artists that much. And when my sons and I travel, we have one rule: whoever's driving gets to pick the music, which it becomes interesting sometimes. But my youngest son, Eli, just really loves country music. You know, he was 3 years old when we moved down here to North Carolina. So, you know, a lot of his friends listen to country music and stuff. And so he's loved it. And so this is from an artist from North Carolina, from Huntersville, North Carolina, named Luke Combs. And this song really means a lot to me. The name of the song is I can't remember the name of the song. So
we'll hear it soon.
You'll hear it in a minute. It just left me, but it's a great song. But this is the chorus. But what it is, it's a dad's going to be leaving home, and this is what he's kind of singing to his son. But every time I heard this chorus, it made me think of Jesus. And so I'm going to go ahead and play it, and then I'll tell you what the words are. It's pretty easy to understand on his singing, but I'll say them when we get back and kind of talk about why I chose that. And that became our topic.
Just 'cause I'm leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side when you need me. You can't see me in the middle of the night. Just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, I know you're scared when I'm not here, but I'll always be right there. Even though I'm leaving, I ain't going.
I think the name of the song is Even Though I'm Leaving. but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But it's from Luke Combs. And he sings in the chorus, just because I'm leaving, it don't mean that I won't be right by your side. When you need me and you can't see me in the middle of the night, just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, I know you're scared when I'm not here, but I will always be there. Even though I'm leaving, I'm not going. I ain't going nowhere. And so for me, it was just, I've learned, I've been a Christian since I was a teenager, you know, or at least said I was a Christian since I was a teenager. And, you know, the more I've walked deeper with him, especially with you guys over the years and through the Wild at Heart message before that as well, you know, I've just learned to really lean into Jesus a lot more. You know, I've talked a lot on the air about my constant prayer as a father is, God, I don't know how to father a child that's in this situation, just fill in the blank. You know, I need you to father me. But that's become more than that. It's whenever something's going on, I find myself leaning into Jesus first. I always used to use him as the backup plan, you know, honestly, and I think a lot of us have done that at times. And I'm finding myself that he's the first answer, you know, that I'll at least pray and say, God, I need you to direct me here, Jesus. I need your input. Holy Spirit, prompt me, something, you know, move me in the right direction. And I'm starting there. You know, earlier this year, I went down to my brother's and my sister-in-law's celebration of life service. And literally the night I came back, I got went into the hospital, got diagnosed with pancreatitis. I'd never had it before, and they thought it was brought on by a medication I was taking, and which I'm no longer taking, and dehydration, a combination of the two. And the doctor had said at the time, well, you'll be over this in about 48 hours, just going on a liquid diet, you know, nothing fun to eat for a while, and nothing solid, and you'll be good in 48 hours. And 6 weeks later, I was still battling whatever it was, and the only thing they could tell me is, this doesn't make any sense. Your scans are good, you know, your ultrasound, all that stuff, the CAT scan, it's all good. Your numbers are all good, but I was still having a lot of pain. And it really had me worried for a while, until I'd went to a boot camp with our friends in Ohio. Danny and Andy and I went up and spent some time with them in a leadership group, and they played a video from the people at Wild at Heart, where John talked about the spirit of death and how that really, in the enemy's released that on the world years ago, in 2019, well, many years before that, but he kind of ramped it up, you know, back then. And this was in a teaching from 2019, and I realized that I was giving that spirit of death access into my life, you know, and I just started praying differently and praying Jesus's love into my life. And it didn't change how I was feeling, but it changed everything. Because, you know, I still had pain, and that was still bothering me, and I didn't know why, and I was frustrated, but I wasn't worried, because at the end of the day, God's got control either way. You know, I'm either going to get better, or I wasn't going to get better, you know, but God's in the midst of it, and I can either say I believe in him, and I love him, and I trust him, or I can actually do that. And I chose to actually do that, and, you know, so far, things have gotten better, I'm doing fine, but I'm very grateful. And I'm just finding that the more and more that I have to realize that God's not gone anywhere. He's always right here. He's always right there with me. And that just means the world to me.
Yeah, and I love the comments you made about the song, you know, during the show prep or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, Jesus literally did go. He died and went to heaven. And so even though he's leaving, he's still here.
Right. Right. Literally, he left.
Right.
You know, and he's coming back, but he's still here. You know, the whole way the God's everywhere works, you know. But, yeah, you know, and so that's why, like I said, when I've ever heard that chorus, I've always thought of Jesus. And so when we were trying to have a topic, I'd been listening to a lot of Luke Combs' stuff over the last month or so. And each song, I find new stuff in it that I like. And I'd listen to this, and I thought, okay, what really is my relationship with Jesus? And why is that important to me? And so that was our topic, you know, for all of us, is what is that relationship with Jesus, and why is that important? And so I'll kind of summarize this part of mine, and then Grant has something he'd like to tell us about. But the summarize it, I guess the relationship is, I depend on him. You know, where before I always just depended on me, and I'm getting much and much better at depending on him first and foremost. I'd love to say that I'm past it, but I still try to figure stuff out, you know, but I realize it and I catch it and I say, okay, Jesus, I need you in the midst of this. You know, again, there's no guarantee of the outcome of whatever this is that I'm talking about. And why is that important to me? It provides me life. It's my lifesaver they throw to me, the little ring thing, you know, off the boat. It's what keeps me afloat in this world at war that we live in. And so, anyway, Grant, you wanted to say something?
Sorry being short, but between what you're talking about yourself there,
mm-hmm.
and the song, is love.
Yeah, it absolutely is love. Yeah, it is love. Jim?
I didn't want to miss the opportunity to pay you a true compliment. You did an excellent job of translating Southern into Midwestern. Southern Country. But you got a number of guys around the table that can help you because we're fluent in Southern. You wouldn't know it, but I am.
Well, country music is a lot like kudzu. You can fight it all you want to, but it'll eventually take over. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I've always liked country music, but I don't like to sit and listen to country music stations just because I like select artists. You know, I don't like all of them that well, you know, and so as I find a new one, and I've actually challenged my son Eli that when you hear a really cool song you think I'll like, to send it to me, because I'm not going to hear it unless you do. And so he's kind of agreed to do that, so that's been good. But so the question I'd have for you is, you know, because we'll be going to break here in a minute or so, minute and a half, just ask yourself really clearly this week, what is my relationship with Jesus? And just be honest with yourself, because at the end of the day, God already knows what it's like, and so you're the only one you're fooling. You know, you're not fooling anyone else, good or bad. You know, God knows exactly what that relationship means to you, and be honest with Him. And if it's in a great place, celebrate that. If it's not in a great place, ask Him why. You know, God, what can I do more to move closer to You? Or am I believing something the enemy's said to me that makes you feel like you've abandoned me, or something along those lines? And the whole goal in this life, as we're still here, one of the goals is to continue to move closer to that relationship with the Trinity, right? And to be more deeply intimate with them as we go. And so what would it look like for you to move more deeply intimate with that relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, however you want to say it? You know, they're all the same, they're all different, however you want to look at that. But that would be the question I'd ask you, because that's one of the questions I've been asking me. What's that look like to move deeper?
My friend Wayne Eller used to say, enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And it took me forever to understand what he was saying, because this is a journey. It's not a destination. And like you've put pretty well, that the further you go along, you know, you get deeper understanding and deeper things that come along. But it is a journey, and you learn more and more as you go along.
Yeah. I think, you know, I look back and I wonder, how did I make it through? You know, before I was leaning into God first, well, obviously I didn't make it through lots of things. I mean, I eventually made it through. I didn't make it through well in some areas. And other times I just think it was God's grace. You know, God said, you know, all right, son, I know where your heart is. We just need to get your head wrapped around it a little bit more and have you lean into me more and grow that relationship. And the good news is we have a very patient Heavenly Father that knows us well and loves us deeply. And so He's waiting on us to just kind of lean into Him, and I'd encourage us all to do that this week. A great place to lean into God is at a boot camp. Go to masculinejourney.org to register for the upcoming boot camp, November 21st through 24th. We'll talk with you after the break.
What we have at our boot camp is something that makes you stronger and gives you the strength to go on your regular walk with God. It's something that will make you be bigger than you were when you got there.
So what's kind of been your favorite part so far? I know we've got a little bit of ways to go in this masculine journey thing, so.
My favorite part is really just being able to talk to other men about real things, you know, and hear from you guys. You guys have been through a lot, and just listening to these guys' stories, their advice, it's really uplifting to me. I've kind of grown up in church my whole life. You know, I really haven't been as close, and I feel like coming to boot camp has helped me get more close, because, you know, I'd kind of gotten to a point where I'd fallen away a little bit. And then my first boot camp, my mom told me about it, and I was like, okay, yeah, we'll go, we'll check it out, we'll see. And then I came, and I was like, you know, I'm always going to come back, because I'd never been to a place like that before. I really appreciate you guys. Glad I can be here.
Register today at masculinejourney.org.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
So that is Randy Newman, and if you don't know that, that's from Toy Story. And you can't listen to that and be in a bad mood. At least I can't. It just instantly puts me in a good mood. Doesn't it do that for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so it is from Toy Story, and that is the name of the song, You Got a Friend in Me. And so when I was thinking about the bump in, this one came right to the top of the list for me. You know, I did think about James Taylor's version of that, or You Got a Friend in Jesus, you know, All My Sins and Griefs to Bear, you know, the old hymn, you know. I knew all those, but this is the one that spoke to me just because that's the relationship I have with him. It's just very fun and lighthearted and serious when it needs to be, but a very deep friendship, and I'm just grateful for it.
And Carolyn and I loved him even before Stowaway Story, so when I heard that come on, I was slightly disappointed for a couple seconds, but it was the right choice by a long shot.
Good.
So, I like it.
I wanted Rob. JT, but you know, that's the right. First I thought of.
Well, Robbie, you have the next clip. So
yes, so it's a familiar clip for many of us.
Yeah.
We've used it from Bagger Vance many times. But a big part of, you know, clearly my relationship with Jesus over the years, certainly in the last probably 7 or 8, is, you know, my daily prayer. And in my daily prayer, I go over my word of the year. And that, you know, very early on in that prayer, I talk about, okay, Lord, my word of the year this year has been vision and or eyes to see. And it's been a crazy journey, like you say, but it is a relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to me that the word joy itself in Hebrew is fundamentally a relationship. It because in my presence is fullness of joy, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so the idea of joy, it comes from actually, you know, his presence, like that very song. You mm-hmm. sense his presence in a womb, and joy comes on, however that works. And so I have been looking at this clip for years, and there's certain parts of it. It's called See the Field, and it's from the movie Bagger Vance, which is, you know, it's a golf movie, and certainly the golfer in this is really doing badly, and he's hacking around, like you said, he's chopping weeds. And so his caddy is going to now help him to see the field, which is really explain a lot about life, which, again, if your word of the year is vision or to see, then all of a sudden this gives us a lot of stuff to think about. So, you know, I'm going to play the clip, I think, and then we'll talk about it.
I think it's time.
Time for what?
Time for you to see the field.
The field? I see the field, but it's 445 yards long. It's got a little red flag at the end of it. It's 12 strokes ahead of me. Come on.
That ain't it. Because if you seen the field, you wouldn't be hacking at that ball like you was chopping weeds out from under your front porch.
All right, what's the field?
Fix your eyes on Bobby Jones. Look at his practice swing. Almost like he's searching for something. Then he finds it. Watch how he settle himself right into the middle of it. Feel that focus. And he got a lot of shots he could choose from. Duffs and tops and skulls. But there's only one shot that's in perfect harmony with the field. One shot that's his. Authentic shot. And that shot is going to choose him. There's a perfect shot out there trying to find each and every one of us. What we got to do is get ourselves out of its way. Let it choose us. You got to seek that place with your soul, Jimmy. Seek it with your hands. Don't think about it. Feel it. Your hands is wiser than your head ever gonna be.
And all you are,
seek it with your hands. Don't think about it.
Feel it.
Looking
focus.
At it,
Junior.
Feel it. It's just there's you. There's only one shot up that's in perfect
that ball,
harmony. We don't see that.
It's the home of your authentic swing, that flag, and all that you are.
Yeah, he took the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fascinating thing. I heard the clip, I don't know how many times, you know, really absorb the idea of it's going to choose you. But the aspect of your hands and the idea of feeling it just grabbed me over the last few days. And the reason is that, well, I guess, you know, God's been taking me down this idea of vision, being able to see the field. I interviewed the Smallbone Brothers from King and Country about six or seven weeks ago when they were doing the movie Unsung Hero. And I asked him, I said, in the creative process, how do you know when you got a hit song? You know, how do you know that this is the song to work on, that kind of thing? And he, whichever one, I forget which one I was talking to at the time, said, well, you know, that song kind of chooses you. And I went, ooh, that sounds familiar. Like, I've heard that before somewhere. And then he went on to say, you know, the song is given to you, but it's your job to perfect it, to take it to that one true authentic song that is your song. But the song was, you know, the swing was given to you, but interestingly, you handle it with your hands in whatever way that is. And you feel it when it's right. And I marveled at that because it's exactly what it's like when I am working on the Christian Car Guy show. Like, I know when I start to pick the music, when I start to pick the pictures and the things that I use to create the show, that I feel it. And if I don't feel it in my heart, if I don't feel like Jesus is in this, if I don't feel like we're working on this together, then I keep searching until I find it. And sometimes that leads me up to really close to showtime. But I'd missed the part about the hands. And then this week I interviewed a pro bull rider. And I asked him about that moment, you know, before they, you know, fling open the chute and they nod their head and all that comes in. And they're talking about being present. And it sounded so much like this clip that they're being in the field. And I thought, that's interesting. Because, you know, all they have a hold of is this rope and it's in their hand. And they have to feel that ride. He said, I may have ridden that bull five or six different times, but this ride's going to be new. It's going to be, and whatever that ride is, there's one true authentic ride. When you think about it, whatever it is that you do, to some extent, your hands help you feel like you're in control of it in the way that you, you're the potter and it's the clay, right? However that works, it's your hand that gives you, hands that give you the feel of it. And I was beginning to think about that. You know, I started to think about, well, what does God feel like? You know, how does he use his hands, which I've known for years, that in Hebrew, the word yid means hand. And that idea is, you hear a Jew is referred to as Yiddish because they feel like they're the hands of God, which, you know, that idea of being Yiddish. And so, you know, God kind of allows the world to operate. Like here the world is this big bully sitting on top of, and it's the chute's coming open. And how's he controlling it? Well, according to the book of Revelation, those stars that are in his hand, which are the angels of the seven churches, which angels in Hebrew means messenger. And so, what your message is, and whether you know it or not, your whole life is a message, right? So, you know, Sam shared the message that he had about going through pancreatitis, but undoubtedly, those of us who know him well watched him preach that message and how he was dealing with it when he was actually dealing with it. And everybody that was around him sees him dealing with it. Well, you know, since my idea was vision, I thought coming into this year that, oh, well, Robbie, you're going to get a vision, you know, exactly where you're going to take this church that you've been made interim pastor. You're going to get a vision for where to go with your radio shows or Truth Talk Live. No. It's like the prayer from, you know, my whole world is in clips in my mind anymore. The prayer from Bruce Almighty when he says, I want the person to see grace through your eyes. Mm-hmm. And so what he's given me, like, is this, whether it's I'm looking at something biblically or I'm looking at life or I'm looking at, he's started giving me more and more of what that vision from his perspective looks like, which is an amazing relationship when everything as far as I was hoping, you know, I would have a vision for where we're going next. Oh, no. I have less of a clue of where I'm going right now than I ever have in my life. And it's unbelievable the amount of things that I'm involved in. However, I couldn't tell you if any of them are going to go away next week. I mean, it's just the way things are. And I get delight in it because I really have a sense that part of this is his giving me the eyes to see that what he's doing is really what's important. And just like you said, that just walk with him through it and not, you got to trust him.
Yeah.
You just brought something to my mind, Robbie, that I've worked with my hands all my life, and Grant will know what I'm talking about. A lot of times you're working on something and you can't get your eyesight to where your hands need to be to put a screw in or something like that. but your hands, you can get a feel for what's going on. And that's kind of from an aspect of what I was hearing you say, is that God's the eyes. And if I'm the hands, I don't necessarily have to see what I'm doing. All I got to do is just work with my hands and make it happen. Does that make sense?
And only now it makes sense. It's perfect. I mean, that's the one true authentic thing. I know it really is. I mean, that puts it together for me. That's really, really helpful because, you know, it wasn't long ago. That's just a few weeks ago. I had to get this. I was putting a ladder on the back of our boat, and I had to reach my long arms as Paul, and I was reaching, and I had to get this little nut on this. I was praying the whole time, like, God, you got to help me, because the one I had to do right-handed, no problem. It was the one that was with my left hand, right? And it was fascinating to see how that works. But I could totally visualize what you're saying because I could sense with my hand. You can feel it. But you think about what he says throughout the whole movie is your grip on your clubs a lot like your grip on life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the things you said that I really picked up on, particularly with my recent new information about my health, is you don't know which way you're going or what's happening next, but you don't need to. You just take one step at a time with God. And that, there's so much more freedom in doing that than trying to plan what He has for us. That's wonderful.
Well, I know something God would love for you to do is come to a boot camp.
What a vision.
It is. You know, I have a vision. God wants you to boot camp. Maybe not this one, but a boot camp at some point. But we do have one coming up. November 21st through 24th. If you're having, that's a weekend before Thanksgiving, and I know you're not doing anything the weekend before Thanksgiving more than likely because you're doing something Thanksgiving weekend, right? So you should have it available. Go ahead and book it soon because if not, you'll have something else that gets in the way. So just go ahead and book the boot camp, masculinejourney.org. And this week, focus on your relationship with Jesus and love somebody well and let yourself be loved well. We'll talk with you next week.
This is the Truth Network.